Host of Mental Health Radio Show, Take It From Us. My name's Sheldon Brown, and it's great for me to hear that music again. It's been pretty much 2 months since I've been in the studio, and you'll probably detect a little bit of nervousness. First time back for 8 weeks. That's our theme music from Joe Cocker, his track called Respect Yourself. And I'm here with technician Declan Curran, and it's a milestone day for us on two counts. One is that we're back broadcasting live for Take It From Us after this period when I have been unwell. And the other milestone, which perhaps is even more significant, particularly for Declan, is that it's his birthday today. I'm not sure whether he wants to admit to how old he is. I was quite surprised when he told me. I thought he was a bit younger than this.
Oh, everybody says that about me. They all say I look like I'm in my 40s. No, I've actually just struck over 57 on the kilometre odometer.
Yeah, well, 57, that's coming up for the big 6-0. So, Declan, congratulations on your birthday.
Thank you on that.
Yeah, so as I've said, we've had a break for about 8 weeks. To be very frank and personal, it's more than a break, a breakdown. And I'll explain more soon about that. Take It From Us is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust and promotes mental healthiness. And as you know, I like to capture some significant sayings from Facebook, and I found one on my first day back at work yesterday, and it reads this way: one's true worth as a human being is not a matter of outward appearance or title, but derives rather from the breadth of one's spirit. Everything comes down to faith and conviction. It is what is in one's heart and the substance of one's actions that count. And I'll just read that last line again. It is what is in one's heart and the substance of one's actions that count. So, it's the build-up to Mental Health Awareness Week coming up on September 21 through to September 27. So Take It From Us is just putting a plug in for Mental Health Awareness Week. It's a chance to step back and reflect on what well-being means for us in whatever new normal we find ourselves in. And I guess we will discover later next week as to what the next new normal is. But Mental Health Awareness Week is also a call to imagine new ways of thriving through and beyond these tough times. So later in the show, we are going to talk to James King about hope, which is diametrically opposed to my comments about tough times. These two words capture how it's been for me over the last couple of months. Depression and anxiety, I have to say, are sinister illnesses. I use the word sinister as I find they rob me of sane and mentally well thoughts, however hard I try to turn my negative thoughts around. And for me, they are there pretty much all day. Without the pills to offer respite at night when sleeping, there'd be no comfort 24/7. So I was based in hospital on the Auckland City Hospital site for a couple of months. I've trudged my way around the domain more times than I'd like to say, in normal well-being, that'd be a wonderful privilege, a joy even. While so many people go to the Domain and the beautiful winter gardens for recreation, relaxation, fun and joy, depression and anxiety robbed me of those joys of the Domain. I knew there was some light coming when I saw a photographer capturing a family of seven ducklings and their mother foraging for scraps at the duck pond. I asked this photographer, I said, had he counted this big family? It was a desperate effort by me to make connection, and it felt very risky. You know, my thought was, what if he ignored my comment? How would I feel? Would it put me even further back into my shell? His small response was something to hold on to in a struggle towards a semblance of well-being. While I wrote this, I'm playing a Brooke Fraser CD, in fact one that Declan gave me, and I've just heard the track called An Indelible Change in Me. Yes, that's certainly what I was looking for and looking forward to now. And I just make the plea that it's a positive rather than a negative change. I'd like to talk a little bit about depression and anxiety. I think it's sinister in how it creeps up on us without warning. Only in hindsight do I realise there were some signs I was overdoing it. Telltale signs, perhaps. What I'd call little flirts of anxiety when doing something, planting some plants. A little bit of fatigue when I walked up the side of my house. Some need to use half a sleeping tablet to get to sleep on occasional nights. I would say to anyone listening to Take It From Us today, please don't ignore those little triggers, those little hints when they crop up. They are telltale signs that depression and anxiety are lurking. The twin plagues are ready to pounce and impose their pain, and certainly it's been pain for me in the last couple of months. Well, let's take a little bit of relief from talk like that. I'm sure there are some listening who will understand the reality of those feelings. Declan, you're ready to give music a whirl?
No, I'm not. I can't. I looked at my Spotify this morning and had a bit of a hiccup trying to get into it now. So if you want to keep talking for another half a minute or a minute, I'll load a CD in and we'll be in action.
Okay, well, you give us a warning, give us the high sign. So I'm talking about my own depression and anxiety over the last couple of months. As I say, there was little warning. Suddenly sitting in the sun at a cafe with a friend, I began to sweat and feel uncomfortable. Within just a few hours, an anxiety attack, terror attack really, had hit, and I knew I was in trouble. 2.5 years of flourishing and functioning well under threat. My period of 2.5 years of flourishing and functioning was under threat, and even more frightening was the immediate prospect of just the one option, back to the hospital that I had experienced some time ago. The Ministry of Health describes depression as a mental illness where you feel sad and miserable most of the time and your mood is persistently very low. The ministry says being depressed is more than feeling down for a day or two. It usually continues for weeks or months at a time. And that's not a very a heart-filling thought. Depression can range from being a mild illness to a severe one, where you can lose interest in life and the things you used to enjoy.
I'm all ready to roll.
You're all ready to roll. Well, you give us the details on the first track we're going to play on Take It From Us for a little period of time.
Yes, well, it comes from a group called Johnny Hates Jazz, which goes right back to, this was done in the 1993, so it's showing our age. You already know how old I am. Sheldon, you want to tell us how old you are?
No, I know.
We'll leave that. This is the number one track off their album, The Very Best Of. And it's called Shattered Dreams. Yours, Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio. Back again with you live every Tuesday from 12:30 through to 1:30. And here is Shattered Dreams.
Well, this is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown on a momentous day. It's Declan's birthday, his 57th. He's kept that pretty quiet. Declan, congratulations.
I won't be 57 until next year because I'll have completed my 57th as I start my 58th. Is that how it works?
Well, no, I don't think it does work that way.
Well, see, because babies aren't one when they're born. They don't become one until they get through the first year. So I'm sort of kind of sticking with that anyway. It's working, so I'm going to go with it.
Well, I think you might be swimming into the tide a little bit in terms of that. Not sure that you'll get a lot of support for that view. But, yeah, I was just talking about my own experience over the last couple of months. And referring to what the Ministry of Health says on its website about depression and anxiety, it says under a heading of triggers, and I have referred to really the lack of triggers, the lack of warning as to what was going to happen to me after being in this cafe and just feeling a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit perhaps sweaty. Anyway, the ministry's website says often depression is triggered by a difficult situation or stressful changes in our life. It can build up over many years. And some of the signs of depression are feeling tired all the time, getting too much sleep or not enough. I wish I was getting too much sleep, but that's not one of the privileges I enjoy. Feeling worthless and helpless, thinking about death a lot, having no energy and having feelings of low self-esteem. A loss of appetite or overeating, something that I don't enjoy as a loss of appetite because I really love food. Sadness or emotional numbness, a loss of pleasure in everyday activities, an irritability or anxiety, and poor concentration. I'll just go back to one of the points here, thinking about death a lot, because Denise Calto, who is a major contributor on the website related to things, mental health, recently said to all those that live despite struggling with thoughts of suicide and difficult emotions, you are brave. Every hour, every day that you manage to distract yourself, put off acting on your thoughts, waiting to feel differently, even though you don't know when or even if you will. You are brave. Even when it doesn't feel like others care or that you're a burden or that you're hurting so much, you don't care whether they get hurt. You are brave. They do care and their lives will be different without you. People want you in their lives. They want you to live. You matter and you are not alone. And I read that, and I know that that is it's quite dark, but I think it's a great reminder when we experience the pain of mental unwellness that we do have responsibilities. People do love us. And I just thank all those people who sent me texts and messages and came to see me. Thank you for your support. And we will be talking later in the show to James King about hope and the importance of support from people when they need hope.
I was going to come up and visit you, but because of this fleas thing, or COVID, whatever you're going to call it, I decided I couldn't come near, so I stayed away. But my thoughts were with you and my texts and well.
Yeah, no, well, that was much appreciated too, Declan. So I'm just talking about depression and anxiety, my own experience over the last couple of months, but also referring to the Ministry of Health's website, which I would recommend to anyone wanting information about depression and anxiety. It has a heading here, Managing Your Depression, and some helpful thoughts about things that you can do for yourself to help manage your depression. And here are a few ideas. Do regular exercise, perhaps today, now that the rain is pouring down. It may not be that easy. Get good quality sleep. Understand what triggers depression for you personally. Maybe it's a lack of sleep. And I must say that when my sleep is affected, that certainly makes me sit up and think carefully about how I am. Eat healthily, reduce stress, learn relaxation techniques, and join a support group. I've been learning relaxation techniques. I found in my level of agitation that the relaxation techniques were not quite as helpful as I would have hoped. Just on Google alone, there are 22.7 million results for the word depression. I guess that underlines just how common depression is and how much people want help with it. As I've said, this month is Mental Health Awareness Week, but September was also World Alzheimer's Month. I mention this because I was confronted in the ward I was in with the devastating impact of Alzheimer's and dementia among some patients, some of whom were a decade younger than me. There were two men there in their early 60s, one of whom not only had very poor hearing, but struggled to speak at all. Others would ask a question and then immediately ask the same question of me again. It was hard to know how to politely alert them to what was happening. Yet interestingly, such patients seemed to have a wonderfully positive attitude to their challenges and laughed a lot and sort of saw the bright side of life. And I commented and congratulated them on their attitude, their positive attitude. In my depression, this was an amazing surprise, and despite their illness, I was somewhat envious of their attitude and an ability to see the bright side of their life. Well, let's have some more music just to sort of lighten things up. Declan, you're ready to go?
Some more excitement. Oh, I am. This time we're going to Helen Reddy. Remember her?
I thought you were saying Hell and Reddy, but Helen Reddy.
Well, she probably was, but anyway. Barbara Streisand actually passed on this song after the backing track had been recorded by a producer without her prior knowledge. It's about a faded Southern belle whose reputation was tarnished when she hooked up with a man of ill repute. Now 41 years old, she wanders the streets of Brownsville, Tennessee, in search of her lost lover. Here is Delta Dawn from Helen Reddy. You're with Take It From Us. Mental Health Radio, broadcasting every Tuesday live from 12:30 through to 1:30 on 104.6 Planet FM.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he wasn't meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky? She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. All the folks round Brownsville say she's crazy. She walks downtown with her suitcase in her hand.
mysterious dark-haired man. In her younger days, they called her Delta Dawn. Prettiest woman you ever laid eyes on. Then a man of love degree stood by her side. Promised her he'd take her for his bride.
Don't you just love that? It's gorgeous,
yeah,
isn't it?
Takes me back. Must be 30, 40 years old.
And you're older than me, so there you go. I could say that too.
Oh, wow. Very much older than you. Well, I'm host of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown. We're with Declan Curran, and we're just waiting to speak to James King in a few moments. But I was talking about the fact it was World Alzheimer's Month in September, and the All Right newsletter of the Mental Health Foundation captured some priorities about dementia and supporting people with dementia, saying being a carer of a loved one was invaluable. As with mental health, the article says reducing the fear of dementia is also key. Friends of loved ones can sometimes avoid the person, wanting to remember the person as they were. But this can leave the partner of the partner or caregiver of this person feeling very isolated from their friends as well. If there's one message we want to get out, it says, it's to see the person, not the dementia. So if you're not all right, that was quoting from the All Right newsletter of the Mental Health Foundation, but if you're not all right, it says here, for many of us, these new challenges under COVID-19 and the loss of our regular routines is causing stress. So the Mental Health Foundation wants you to know that however you're feeling, there is someone to talk to and free help available. It's all right to reach out if you need to. We all need a bit of support from time to time. And certainly I've had to reach out, and there's a couple of appointments I've got coming up later this week, which are hopefully going to provide meaningful support. You can call or text 1737 to speak with a trained counsellor anytime. It's free and completely confidential. You can also call Lifeline, and their number is 0800 543 354 or text HELP to 4357. Also, check out the Mental Health Foundation's website on mentalhealth.org.nz. It gives you great advice there and explanations about particular diagnoses. Well, we're going to change tack now and be a little bit more positive and a little bit more hopeful. Broadcaster James King from Hamilton, you're on the line.
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Sheldon. Good afternoon, listeners.
Yeah, no, great to chat online again today. James, you've made some comments on Facebook recently asking the question, what is hope? And they aroused considerable interest and comment. And I think I'm right in saying that this column stemmed from an interview you and I did together with a former Methodist minister, Russell Rigby, who's become a friend of mine since that broadcast. He's a wise man and has been a considerable support to me over the last 2 to 3 years. So you met Russell, James?
Yeah, great guy, yeah.
Yeah. So what's your understanding of hope?
Well, it's, I guess, a fundamental component of hope is faith. Faith in, to some extent, the unknown, but faith that things will get better or will progress. So I think faith is a fundamental component of that. I think the other thing is that hope, if in a physical sense, is like a muscle that needs to be exercised with practical tasks that build on them, and from that point of view, manages to. To through the use of faith, through the use of practical missions and friends and family, you can establish hope through those things.
Do we have to have faith in ourselves? I had somebody who texted me and said, "Well, it's important to love oneself."
Yes, I think that's true. But faith in itself doesn't come from a void. Faith and hope come from other people as well. This is where I say that other people are important because they may at times hold hope for you when you feel in yourself to be hopeless. Those around you, given that, especially if they're positive people, can hold that hope for you. So it's a multi-pronged thing, this hope.
Yeah, quite complex, I guess, in terms of sort of getting a grasp on it.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, it's simple. It's a simple thing for complicated people, and I think that if you have positive people in your life, if you have positive clinicians and family and friends around you, it makes it just that much more easy to, or less hard. To find that hope. If you don't have those things in your world view, then it makes it doubly hard.
Right. Is there a dictionary definition that helps us understand hope and its significance?
There is. It's the feeling that of anticipation of something positive might come, but it's still an inadequate sort of title because, we hope for many things. We hope the All Blacks win. We hope the cricketers win. We hope the economy gets better. We hope. But those things we, in our own individual lives, we don't have much control over. But that personal hope, that personal faith is something that we can or we are intrinsically linked to.
I think one of the things that you suggest in these comments is that it's good to get out there and just do it, if you like, take a risk, venture out.
Absolutely. I think, taking a risk, and they can be small risks, like going out, doing your grocery shopping or putting washing on the line or, there's just little things that culminate together to make, a positive day. If you've done, like, for example, today, I'll do this this interview. I'll do some dishes, tidy up around the lounge. I'll put washing out, bring washing in. Just those daily maintenance things that people take for granted are really important for those who, encounter depression, encounter bipolar, encounter schizophrenia, or any of the other suite of mental health issues.
I guess yesterday, if I talk personally, I certainly took a risk in going to work for the first time in a couple of months, organising a meeting with my boss. And certainly there were great benefits from that happening, getting a reassurance that I'd still had access to the radio show and the responsibility to broadcast. And I got home feeling much more relaxed and quite buoyed up, really.
Yes, slept, energised,
slept better. But what happens if it seems to fall apart again the next day? How do you prop up that hope that things are going to become more consistently good?
Well, I think when the going gets tough, the tough dig in and keep repeating the same mantra to themselves. Get up, get out of bed, wash, shower, make breakfast, take your medication. All these are little things that you can do easily that create a positive day.
Yeah.
And if you can, adhere to that. I mean, that's not to say it's easy, because it's not. You know, a lot of the time you want to stay in bed and not see the world. But really, if you're to have hope and to develop and grow, then you've got to get up out of bed and do something.
I was just going to jump in there and say, I think the thing too is, with hope, is not to place unrealistic pressures and expectations on yourself to achieve something that particular day. And what I tend to do is I use a system of 1 to 4. So if it's 1, it's an appointment. If it's 2, it's something I really want to do that day or really need to do, like bring the washing in so it doesn't get wet. 3 might be something that, yeah, I'd like to do it today, but it doesn't really matter. And 4's sort of like just a lucky dip, pull it out when you feel like it. And that way it puts things in order, but it also pulls things down. But also what I do is the night before, just before I go to bed, I make a list of, in sort of chronological order, in the diary, if I haven't got anything, just what I want to achieve that day, and it gets it out of my head on paper, and then I can just have some idea when I get up in the morning. I can calmly sit there. And
it makes it tangible, doesn't it? That's what I believe in. I believe in taking tangible steps in a day-to-day way with your daily maintenance, with your, For example, I make a habit of calling or texting or messaging my friends and family on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And to some degree, that's for no other reason than it's something to do. But it actually makes me feel better about me if I'm getting in contact with people, reaching out to people who in their own worlds may find it a struggle, but I find reaching out to them actually therapeutic for me.
Do you find family reach out to you as well? Like, is it just a one-way road, or do you find you get calls out of the, you know, just surprise calls?
Well, yeah, that's the lovely thing. People genuinely like it when you say, I wish you well for the day, and they will respond. The other thing is that the faith and hope that people can have on your behalf may be entrenched for some time, but I'm absolutely convinced, given my own situation, that hope comes about through, dare I say it, hard work and dedication, even when you don't want to do it, you know.
Yeah, there's no real escape from hard work and dedication, is there, James?
No, but at the end of the day, you have to, you know, pick what you're going to be committed to. And I think if you're committed to your mental health getting better, or at least not getting any worse, then that's a start.
I think too, in the morning, what I do, I'm just throwing in here, is when I get up in the morning, irrespective of what I've got planned for the day, I just take time to either sit in the shade or the sun, whatever you want, sit there with a cup of tea and just listen to nature, and essentially just sort of, I don't know, it's a bit like a motor warming up. I just sit there in my own space and just basically come to, I guess it's a bit like a meditation to a degree.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to do. The other thing is that a lot of people are active relaxers, which means they have to be doing something to relax. I think that's okay. But if you can find a space like you do, Declan, where you can just take a step back from the world for a minute or two and just be, you know, that's an excellent way to you know, heal yourself, I think.
I think the
and
other
Sheldon,
thing...
you do it as well, don't you, with your meditations?
Well, the body scan certainly... I was heartened last night when I got home, and I felt relaxed, and I was able to, you know, do that meditation with some positive effect. This morning, not quite so positive. But you used the word James steps or step
yes.
On Facebook. I captured a line there that said, just take one step at a time. And I used that as a discipline this morning for preparation for Take It From Us today.
I think we can also underestimate ourselves too. And I think we can underestimate our resilience. And if you've got people around you, you know, this is what I'd say to support people, is make people aware of their resilience, make people aware of their strengths, and that'll help give them confidence in themselves and in the world around them.
I think you're better off to also start off lower, you know, not having too high expectation on yourself.
Mm.
And that way, if you achieve more, hey, great, I've done it. If you haven't, you haven't disappointed yourself because you haven't said, I want to do all these four things today and then feel depressed at the end of the day or upset because you haven't done them.
I think it's about progress rather than perfection. We're human yep. beings and we're never going to get it 100% right. But if you do a few things in a committed way, then I think you're on the right track.
Just something I want to throw in there as well is I have my friends know that, you know, once I get to 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, don't bother calling me because that's my Netflix time. And they right. know in the morning I don't get up till 9 o'clock, so don't call me before 9 o'clock or I'll ignore your call. And so they know that those are my spaces that I need to be in for me. You know, if you call me halfway through a movie, I'm not going to be very receptive. so I've got them well programmed, well trained.
Yeah, well, like, can we take a music break, James, while you hold on there in Hamilton?
Sure.
You like Nick Kershaw?
Love him.
Good on you. He's coming up shortly. I'll just put you on hold. This is an interesting song, actually. It doesn't appear to make much sense when the lyrics are studied closely, and there's been a lot of theories that have popped up regarding the meaning of it. In fact, Nick Kershaw had written the music but didn't have any idea what the song was going to be about, so he just basically randomly chucked it all together. And he said that he's received hundreds of solutions to the riddle, that's given you the title now, that supposedly explain exactly what the song's about, even though the lyrics are more or less random and the song isn't actually about anything at all. So it's going to sound a little bit crazy, but it's really good. So here is Nick Kershaw with the riddle. You're with 103. I nearly said something else for a minute.
104.6.
I know, I was going to give you a Cairns North radio station then. You're with Planet FM 104.6. This is Take It From Us, broadcasting live every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30, and I'll just call back in my cage now.
From us on 104.6 Planet FM.
Isn't that a weird set of lyrics? I want to know what he's on when he wrote that.
You're referring to?
Nick Kershaw, the guy that did the song. He says the lyrics on that. I mean, near a tree by a river, there's a hole in the ground. So what? It should be something on Unsolved Mysteries.
Doesn't pay to analyse the words of songs too much, I think. We've got James King, a broadcaster, on the line from Hamilton. James, it's great for you to make a contribution to the first show live for a couple of months, and we're talking about A Sense of Hope. You were referring to contacting people, friends, family, texting them, giving them a message, and I can confirm that that certainly happens from James. I picked up my phone this morning and he said, "Hey, mate, good luck and break a leg for tomorrow's show. You'll kill it." Well, that reminded me that, in fact, I needed to contact James to ask him to comment about hope, which is what we're doing on Take It From Us right now. How important is standing on solid ground in terms of hope, James?
That's another one of the fundamental tenets of hope, is standing on that solid ground, living with integrity and honour and truthfulness, and also care and compassion for other people as well. Once you've got those sort of founded in rock, then you've got the opportunity to really grow and develop as a human being and develop that hope as well.
I guess implied in that is that there's a need to have belief that what you're doing is important to the quality of your life. You've mentioned a few examples like, doing the dishes and those sorts of things. Sometimes I find those somewhat pointless when I'm depressed.
Yes. Yes, I find them pointless regardless. They'll only get dirty again once you clean them. So, I think Quentin Crisp said after 5 years of not cleaning, the dust doesn't get any more. So, I can understand that being ambivalent towards it. But I really do think if you can do a few things in your day that are positive, then you're on the right track to winning the war.
So how has your belief and hope and the things that you're talking about, the way you live your life, how has it changed?
Well, in the article I wrote that I've been referring to, I think I said the idea is to grab life with both hands and live life in vitality, which means basically that you live to live and you live well rather than living in banality or finality or you know, one of those other negative aspects. So I think truthfulness and being kind to yourself, being kind to other people. You see, I think one of the things is if you can help someone, you're helping yourself. There's nothing that feels so good than helping someone out in a tangible way. And I think when that comes back to you, it will slowly change your attitude from perhaps one of despair and despondency to one of hope and belief.
Yeah, well, I did find over the last couple of months that depression had robbed me of thinking of others and considering kind things, respectful things that I could do for people.
You have a track record of doing that, Sheldon, of being, helpful and practical and, helping people out and that sort of thing. You've got a track record of that. So I guess when you're in the darker periods, if you can continue to do those things, then I think things are less dark and more hopeful.
So you've talked about having people, clinicians or friends, supporters who will hold hope for you. I hear this quite a lot, but what does it mean to you to have somebody holding hope for you?
Well, it means that you've got someone positive, supportive, smart, savvy about the sort of person you are, and it's about those other people or that other person being your own personal cheerleader. Now, that might sound a bit hokey, but at the end of the day, if you can have your own personal cheerleaders, and the more the merrier, then that should be, or at least it assists in the desire to get better, get well, get on the right track. So holding hope for someone who doesn't have any hope in themselves is a key aspect.
Yeah, and in doing a little bit of research for the program today and reading this column more thoroughly of yours about hope and giving you a call, it struck me that there was a golden opportunity right now for you and I to hold hope for each other.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I think that mutuality could be amazing. To have, each other hold hope for each other, that's, that's possibly the most loving thing you can do for someone in the first instance is holding hope
right.
for them.
So what part does being positive, positivity have in fostering hope, James?
Well, I think it's the difference between doing something positive, which might be, talking to other people or painting a picture or going for a walk or something like that versus, staying at home, doing nothing, getting bogged down and what have you. So, hope is a muscle that needs to be exercised. And the more exercise you can get, the stronger it'll become.
Has your shift to Hamilton and being closer to family, been helpful in your hopefulness?
I think it's been vital, actually. The last couple of years have been the best couple of years I've had for some time. So, yeah, I think moving to Hamilton where it's not so busy has been good for me and closer to positive family members as well.
Yeah, so you say it's a scary journey going it alone. So stay tight with those you respect.
That's right, yeah. And you never know who your friends are until you need them. And I would argue that you actually need them all the time. One of the things, though, I would say is don't reach out to people and whinge,
right,
and moan. And be a downer. get in touch with people, talk about politics, talk about sport, talk about, I don't know, coronavirus, talk about a whole bunch of things. That doesn't mean to say you should exclude your own sort of if you're feeling bad, but that's to say people love the rough and they love the smooth in relationships. And you need to have a combination of the two. It's like cooking a meal. You need to balance acidity with oil content.
Or the colour with the blandness.
That's right. So, I mean, I say to people, ring TalkBack. Badger TalkBack, especially if you can't sleep overnight. The TalkBack hosts will love you. Bring them up, talk about the issue of the day. They'll give you 5 or 10 minutes of you getting outside of yourself, and they'll ask you what your opinion is, and 5 or 10 minutes between 2 and 3 in the morning could be vital, actually, and make you feel better.
Builds one's confidence that you can articulate.
Yeah, and it's something positive. You're expressing your opinion, and you're listening to other people's opinions. You get off the phone, you feel good about things. I know that from people.
Mm. Yeah, well, we read earlier in the show a gift, I think it is, and part of it says it's what's in one's heart and the substance of one's actions that count.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's funny because I was thinking about the rap course I did with you, Sheldon, when you were facilitator of that, and a very good facilitator too, I might also add.
Thank you.
Not wanting a check in the mail, but you were very good.
Good,
but
you're going to get one.
I was just about to say that you will be getting one.
You got yin and yang over here.
Yes. But, the rap classes, I was just thinking about this today, actually. I've just put my rap in a drawer and forgotten about it. Whereas actually, if I took it out, read it, and did it, it would be, much easier for me to get on, because it is a personalised prescription for wellness.
Yeah.
And so if anybody's contemplating doing rap, then the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, then I say go for it. But keep it live, keep it current, and keep using it and refer back to it.
What reminded you of your wellness?
About rap? Well, you did, actually. You prompted me to think about it because I think I did that rap course when I was fresh out of hope. So, from there to where I am now, is quite marked.
Oh, that's great to hear. Well, James, thank you again for your contribution to Take It From Us. It's great to be back live, and it's great to be talking to you. So all the best for the rest of the day, and we'll play another track.
And as I say, you behave.
Yes, thank you, guys.
No thanks, worries. James.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What have you got, Declan?
We're probably not going to get the full amount of this one in, but I thought it was an appropriate song. It's back to Johnny Hates Jazz again. It's a song called Turn Back the Clock, and it basically talks about looking back on your life with gratitude and saying that if you could go back in time, would you change anything that happened, even though there were bad times as well as good? So, we'll have a listen to that, and we'll be back to you just before we go out.
Absolutely. Well, we're just fading the music down there here on Mental Health Radio. Take It From Us. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran. And I just wanted to mention that Southern Cross has joined forces with the Pause, Breathe, Smile Charitable Trust to offer a mind health program to all primary and intermediate schools in New Zealand. Together, they want to equip every child in New Zealand with the tools to achieve positive mind health. And what a priority that is, positive mind health. It's escaped me, I must say, over a couple of months, but I'm working on it. And I really would like to just review all the things that we need to do to achieve that positive mind health. And we'll do that in another program on Take It From Us.
We'll catch you next week. Welcome back, Sheldon. Good to see you looking better. And have a good one, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Declan. Everybody.